Let's try it one more time. Say word. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Last book of the Bible. Try not to drop this one. Chapter 12. Yeah. Guys are snuggling up together.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah.
Sharing is good. It's a Christian thing to do. We want to share with you very briefly why we're doing this. It's perfectly fine and good to have a bunch of fun in church. Some of you may be from a church where you would never see lights like that and all the music and stuff and wonder, what does that got to do with God? we'll explain. the bottom line is when you come to church, the bottom line is that you experience God, and God can be experienced in many different ways. When you go to heaven, it's going to be a whole lot more exciting than you can imagine. I mean, the throne is sitting on a sea of glass. He has a rainbow around his head, and it's going to be lightning and thunder. It's going to be the bomb. But whether it's loud or not, the question is, are you going to experience God and hear God's word? And so I want to share with you a couple of verses about what this is about and what I hope you get out of it, and the reason we're putting this on. So if in chapter 12, John has seen a vision. He's kind of getting an overview of the history of the world. And one of the things he writes about is when the devil got cast out of heaven. And it says in verse 10, chapter 12, verse 10. Did I say Steven? Stenen? verse 10, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, he who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. The devil has been cast to earth. And then he says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. There's no way you can overcome the devil, his temptation, his attacks in your life on your own. You need the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ died and rose from the dead for our sin, to give us an opportunity to have a relationship with Christ. And through Christ, we can resist the temptation of the devil. We can undo the damage the devil has done in our life. Christ does it on our behalf. So these people overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Everyone say testimony.
Testimony.
One of the names of the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So he's going to accuse you day and night of being a hypocrite, a fool, a liar, cheat, blah, 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 blah. And the only thing you have, you can't say, well, I made this money, I'm famous, I have this. The only thing you can say to the devil is, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. He has washed my sins away, and he has given me his righteousness. I am a sinner. You're right, devil, but Jesus is righteous. And so it's by the blood, by the testimony, the word of my testimony, my story, my relationship with Christ, and the testimony of my relationship with Christ is the only thing I have over the devil. Now, these brothers right here, they've been successful in the world. We're going to hear a little bit about that. You already have. But they realize the only thing they have that's eternal is their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they want to share that with you and use their platform, their celebrity, to say, yes, we've made it in the world, but let us tell you what's even more important than that. Because a lot of people are pursuing worldly things, cars, women, etc., and come to find out after they either get caught or find themselves to be empty, in jail, dead, or with a disease, and then they realize it was all a lie. And so these guys are here to tell you, look, we've been down that road, and we want to tell you that God has something better for you. And what really makes them tick and what really fulfills them is their relationship with Christ. So we want to give you the opportunity, and hopefully you make a decision today to give your life to Christ, recommit your life to Christ, and so you don't have to make the same mistakes some of us make. Amen? Amen. So, Nick, one of the things we want to do also is talk about sports and kind of have a little fun, because we all have very different experiences in sports. And one of the things that shocked me was the first time I went to a Major League Baseball locker room the day of the game. Now, NFL locker room day of the game is very different than their locker room. And, you know, you've heard me joke about baseball players that they don't really run a lot. They don't really work out. It's kind of real slow, you know, just kind of sit there and throw the ball and, you know. And so I went to the locker room and found out that it really is like that. So Nick, why don't you tell us about your locker room, your routine, and how laid back it really is?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more laid back than the football guys.
We're playing 162 games. You know, you got to get your mind right. We come back in from batting practice, eat a little bit, hang out. I'll meet with the starting pitcher and the pitching coach, and we'll go over a game plan of where we want to go on that day, how we want to get the other opposing hitters out, how we're going to try to get Adrian out in June when we go to Boston, and try not to let him hit any balls over the monster. So it's kind of nice. And then after that, we just go listen to some music, pray a little bit, and then go to work.
So your strategy to get Adrian out is what?
I'll tell you later when he's not listening. probably not to throw anything down the middle. He likes those fastballs.
And if he hits a couple of jacks over the wall, what happens?
Yeah, I told him earlier that he starts hitting home runs against us, we're going to drill him in the leg so he can't. So he just goes to first. So we all know if he's at first, he's not going to steal any bases. So.
I knew I would try that.
So what's your sign for hitting somebody?
Can't show you guys in church.
So the day of the game, I'm at the in the locker room, kind of tripping that the game is like 20 minutes away and y'all are just watching TV.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Eating Philip Mindon.
Yeah, for me, you know, I like to go about 6:30, get my swing, hit a little bit in the cage, get loose, and then I get back in to the clubhouse. And everybody prepares differently, but I like to get as laid back, as relaxed as I can before the game starts. So, yeah, you were in there, you know, 6:45, 6:50, 15 minutes before the game. And you're kind of looking around like, should I still be in here? And I was like, yeah, come here, sit down, hang out, let's talk. And Miles was like, you know there's a game right now going on, right? I was like, yeah, I know. but yeah, I mean, you know, baseball, you play every day. And so, you know, there's a sense you can't really get that high 162 times. So we try to keep it a little more calm. But I personally keep it even more than everybody else. So, you know, I just make sure I'm loose. And up until about five minutes before game time, you know, you'll see me be relaxing in my chair, just having a good time there, talking to whoever wants to have a conversation.
So. NFL locker room.
NFL locker room is just, obviously, it's a lot crazier. We got a lot more guys that are mentally unstable. And you know, some of them should be committed. So, you know, instead of going to the crazy house, we put pads on them and tell them to go hit somebody. So, you know, basically a lot of music being played, music that shouldn't be in church. And, you know, guys are hitting walls and headbutting each other and just going crazy. And usually we go off a pregame. And the funny thing is, I said this earlier, every time I'm at pregame, I get somebody in the stands saying, "Who's the man?" And I turn around.
At the stadium.
At the stadium. I'm just like, who? I was like, is the Rock Church at Qualcomm right now? And the guy just keeps screaming at me until I say, "Jesus." And
so, by the way, all these brothers are part of our church family. So if you're in Boston, you need to yell, "Who's the man?" when you see Adrian out there. Or if you travel, wherever you see him, anywhere in the league, around, if y'all travel and go to a game, just yell, "Who's the man?" And hopefully he'll say, "Jesus."
But, Jesus! See, can't help it. So we go back in and we pray it up, and everything gets quiet and calm. And then as soon as we say amen, that music gets on again, and everybody just starts going crazy again.
Can you imagine like a visitor walking around the locker room before the game?
They'd be scared. There's no better feeling than going to Qualcomm, seeing the Jets fly over, and someone saying the Star Spangled Banner, and it's a high.
Chris, you are 215 pounds.
Yeah.
The average weight advantage your opponents had were how many?
Between 30 and 50 pounds.
30 and 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Actually, one guy was 270, right?
270,
60
yeah.
pounds.
Yeah.
And was anybody ever smaller than you?
No. I never fought a heavyweight smaller.
Okay, so what do you pray before you go out?
please, Lord, cover me. Please. just praying, honestly, to, you know, get off. Get the punches off, be precise, and hopefully get a knockout, which rarely came with on the championship level, and avoid the big shots. Lord, allow me to avoid the big shots. If they do land, please don't let it hurt. Too bad. You know, and be victorious.
And your mother, his mom is the only yes. mom. Tell us about your mom.
My mother is the only mother. My father is the head coach. My mother was the assistant coach. And we're the only duo ever in history to guide their son to a heavyweight title of any sort. Mm-hmm. So it was great.
So tell us some stuff your mom would say.
My mother is hardcore. She's much higher than my father. In the ring, my father will be talking to me. My mother's on the side. You know how hard you work. Don't let him hit you like that. You knock him out. You make sure you get on him. She's hardcore. And if I get knocked down, I come back to the corner. You ain't hurt. How am I not hurt? I just went down. I got up. I stagger back to the corner. But she's like, you're not hurt. Suck it up. Get out there and fight. And I'm looking at her like, you get out there and fight. But she was great. She's a great motivator.
That's a trip. Did your mom spank you when you were a kid?
You know it.
That's why you got it.
I got extension cord whoopings. I ain't get regular belt Ooh. Whooping. Extension cord with welts on you like Ooh. Toby.
You might want to keep that on down low. That's like child protective services. Is that why you went into boxing?
Yeah. And she still can whoop me. So it didn't help.
Jacques, tell us about... Tell us... Focus. Tell us about the day you gave your life to Christ. The day.
Okay.
Not the month. The day.
The day I gave my life to Christ. I was in church. I wasn't saved. I was. It was April 22nd, 2001, and I was in church. I was in the back of church, and I remember the pastor. He was doing an altar call, and you know, before every time I had heard an altar call, I'd said the prayer in my heart, and I told myself I was never going to go up there because I didn't need to, because you know God knew where my heart was. I didn't need to go up and present to the world that I was a Christian, because hey, I was in church. That was good enough for me anyways, and I knew that was good enough for God. So that particular day, the pastor was giving a sermon, and he said, you know, we're going to have an opportunity right now to give our lives to God, and he said, you know, bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray this prayer with me. And as he's saying this, I'm reciting the prayer with him, and I'm thinking that it's you know, everything sounds good, everything is cool. And I open my eyes, and I'm in front of the church, crying, snot bubbles coming out of my nose.
That's nasty.
I'm an ugly crier, man. I don't cry. That's why I smile all the time. And I gave my life to the Lord that day. I submitted my life, and I just told him that I'm his, and whatever he wants to do with me, let it be done.
And what was pivotal, you had a friend that was very pivotal, critical,
yeah.
Important,
critical, yeah.
Relevant.
Well, before that, I obviously I wasn't living a good life. I was drinking and doing drugs and things of that such. And I had this one game where I sacked the quarterback, and the quarterback reached up for me to help him up. So I slapped his hand away, and thinking I was cool and tough and. That day, I went home, and my roommate at the time, my friend, he came home. And he said, "You need to go to chapel." And I've never talked to God about with him or any. We never had a conversation about Jesus or anything like that. And he just out of the blue, he's like, "You need to go to chapel. The pastor was talking about you." I was like, "Oh, great. What was he saying?" He was saying, "You know, if you want to be a man of this world or a man of Christ, if you want to be a man of Christ, don't be like that guy that slapped the quarterback's hand away." I know, right? That's brutal. And so you know, right there, and I wanted to give the pastor a piece of my mind, but I would have never have gone to chapel if it wasn't for my friend reaching out to me, telling me that I needed Jesus in my life. So I encourage everybody out there, if you have a friend or somebody that you know in need, just say something to them. That's it. So, you know, plant that seed. God will do the rest. That's all you got to do, is just tell them about Jesus.
Adrian, when you got saved, it was you and your wife were had just gotten married, mm-hmm. and then God used your relationship and some other couples to tell us about that story.
Yeah, 2003, my wife and I got married, and we knew we wanted religion to be the foundation of our lives, and at the time we weren't 100% sure how that was going to play out, but God put some five couples that we're all believers. That's who we hung out with, and getting to know them and going to Bible studies and chapels and hanging around with them, we understood what it was to have that relationship with Christ. And we understood what we were searching for and what we wanted in our lives. And so in late April of 2003, it drew me to give my life to Christ, and really understood what it was to not just say, I believe in God, and you know that's going to be our foundation, because the belief in itself is, it's great, but it's not that relationship that you really need. And when we understood that it was a relationship with Christ, that if you glorify Him, you're going to glorify your wife in return, and vice versa, your wife will do the same. So at that point, I gave my life to Christ, and it was because of those couples, and it was because of, in a sense, getting married that allowed me to open up to the possibility of giving my life to Christ, which is, it's incredible.
How has that changed your relationship with your wife? Because now there's a lot of couples out here, or people who want a couple. Up. Mm-hmm. And how did you guys committing your life to Christ change how you treated each other?
Before you commit your life to Christ, you think about yourself, your selfish desires first. You worry about, if I make this decision or if I do this or that, how is that going to satisfy me? How is that going to make me happy? And when you learn about how it is to have the relationship with Christ and how Christ loved the church, you realize that it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever it is that you're glorifying. And so for me, it was my wife, and I started understanding how you got to glorify your wife, and it's not about me. And so, you take your own desires out the door, and you focus on her first, and then, hopefully in return it'll glorify you and make you happy too. So, and I can attest that if you see that smile on your wife, it'll make you happy no matter what. So.
Now I remember, well, you weren't here this morning when he said that he was going to, because I wrote it on my hand, obey my wife. You wrote it down. Oh, you got it. Okay, good. I just want to make sure. So we'll check in a few weeks to see how y'all are doing
go.
That. See if you got them like that. Nick, you have a very, very different, very special family. That was very instrumental in your relationship with Christ. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was real fortunate growing up. I have an older brother who's a year older than me. And my family was always there for me. My parents, we went to church every Sunday. But it didn't stop there. We didn't just go and then, that was it for the week. We went, my parents lived in the Word every day. We prayed constantly. Me and my brother could see the love that they had for the Lord just by the way they loved each other and they treated us. And, it was an awesome experience growing up because we knew that they loved us. And I got baptized when I was 12. My brother was 13. We got baptized together. It was an unbelievable experience because we didn't know everything about the Lord. We just know that our parents loved the Lord, and we wanted to be like them, and we wanted to confess the love for the Lord too. And since then, it's been an amazing ride, just growing, and trying to start my own family, and try to continue that legacy on.
What would you say to the parents who are watching, and the wannabe parents?
Yeah. I just really encourage you guys to live for the Lord, because your actions speak louder than your words, and your kids see everything that you do, and we saw everything that our parents did, and we wanted to be like them. And So I just encourage you to act with that great integrity. If you love the Lord, do it every day.
Amen.
Amen. Mr. Bird, and your wife was also instrumental in you getting saved, and you have a special message to all the ladies in the house.
Yeah, yes. I was out playing basketball on a day, and somebody had died on her side of the family, and we had neighbors that were Christians, and when I was out playing basketball, she went and asked the young ladies, you know, where would somebody go if they die? So they opened up the Bible and just told her the truth. And that night, she got saved. I come home, and she had like a glow. I was like, what's wrong with you? And I was just looking at her, I was like, what's up with you? I got saved. From what? what are you going to get saved from? I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I said, okay, I'm going to do that in about 10 minutes. I went to my bedroom. Of course, I didn't do it. But she started going to church, and she changed. I mean, she was totally different. She was going on Wednesday night, on Sunday night, I mean, Sundays, Sunday mornings, and I'm staying at home, and she's a different woman. I'm like, this God thing must be working, and she nagged me. And I know she's going to throw her purse at me because I said she nagged me, but she did nag me to go, and she constantly and then she stopped. It was kind of weird. When she stopped nagging me, I'm thinking, she don't care about me no more. She stopped the nagging, and I finally agreed, I'll go to church. It took me 3 months. So the first couple of times I went to church...
Before you go to that, why did she stop nagging you?
The women at the church told her, stop nagging him. He'll come. And sure enough, she was praying for me. And that was huge. And I finally agreed to go. And I went, I was just going to please her. And I went 2 weeks, and I'm like, whatever. Then the third week I went, I actually listened. I mean, and the Spirit just convicted me. I realized I was a sinner, and I realized what Jesus did for me on the cross. He died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day for my sin. And I'm like, whoa. And then the question was asked, where would you go if you die? I couldn't answer it. I'd debate you in anything. I couldn't debate that. I didn't know. And I was like, wow. I was sitting in the back, in the middle of the, on the pews. I walked an aisle. When they gave the invitation, I came up like they do here, walked an aisle, and somebody showed me in the Bible what Jesus did for me and recited a prayer, and I'm a born-again Christian. October 14th, 1993. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ.
And I think that one of the pivotal moments was when someone said, what's going to happen to you when you die? The Bible says that we're all going to die because we're all sinners. And what happens to you when you die depends on what happens when you live.
Yes.
And if you ask Christ to be your Savior when you're alive, when you die, you will go to heaven. If you reject the salvation of Christ when you live, when you die, you go to hell. So it's really up to you. And that same question is posed to you. What's going to happen when you die? Because you're all going to die. We're all going to die. Mm-hmm. All of us have sin, and the penalty of sin is death. Mm-hmm. And so we want to illustrate to you and convey to you that Jesus Christ loves you and wants to forgive you of your sin. He doesn't want you to die and be separated from him.
Yes.
Adrian, you had a very pivotal moment. Someone give me another word. A crisis, crisis moment in your life where God kind of woke you up after you got saved and you were walking. And tell us about that moment.
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, I was saved in 2003, but in 2005, when I was with the Texas Rangers at the time, it was my second year going up and down in the big leagues. But at that time, I was really starting to have a little bit of success in the major leagues. And so things are starting to look up. Things are starting to go as I planned them or as I envisioned them to go. And I start hearing, through some people that they're going to make a trade to open up more playing time and give me a better chance to get to play more often and get a chance to play. And instead of making a trade that opened up more playing time for me, the trade that happened got me sent down. And at that point, I mean, it was, you know, it was a really tough time for me.
So let's put it in context. You're the number one player picked in the draft. This is your second year. You're finally thinking, I'm going to get my opportunity. Mm-hmm. And they send you back to minor leagues.
Yeah, they sent me back. And, you know, I be honest, I mean, I was pouting. I was, you know, saying, why Jesus? Why'd you do this? And at that time, I was like, you know, 2 years in and, you know, living it out. And at that point, I was like, why are you doing this? And still no understanding of what's going on. And, you know, really, really struggled with that for a few days. And finally, I sat down with my wife and realized that we had to make a decision. It's either pout, cry about it, and put my head, you know, between my legs and do nothing about it, but pout, or really commit myself and say, God, okay, I get it. You're in control. I believe you. I'm going to leave it all up to you. And from that day on, I chose that route, which is the correct route to go. And from that day on, it really, really allowed myself to say, okay, you know what? I get it. You're in control. I'm going to really, you know, understand that no matter what you do in my career, no matter where you take me, I'm going to be faithful. I know that it's for your will and for your kingdom. And I'm just going to take wherever I'm at and use it as a platform for you and not for me. And that day, really understanding a lot of that allowed me to really say, okay, you know, I'm giving 100% control to the Lord. And, you know, it took that me saying, I believe in you, you're the Lord of my life, to I really, really believe you 100%. No matter what happens, you're in control.
So I want you to imagine you're the number one draft choice, not for your team, but the whole league. So you're like, you can legitimately say, I'm the best player. You go to a team, and after 2 years, you think your opportunity's coming, and they demote you. And then you figure, well, how could they demote me? I'm so-and-so. And God is going to send or allow your life to do this for your whole life. If you're thinking that you're going to get to a point where it's just going to cruise, it'll never happen. That's not the way it is. But through your ups and downs, God wants to purify you when it's good in your mind and when it's bad in your mind. To God, it's just another way of getting you closer to Him. And the decision you have to make is, how are you going to react when things happen that you don't like? And God wants you to realize that He's in that too. He's going to use that in your life as well. Matter of fact, God has not promised to make you happy. He wants to make you holy. And it's probably going to be more through the times that are hard that you become purified. But you have to sacrifice or surrender your life to Christ during those times. Matter of fact, Chris, I want you to talk about your time, because he had a situation in his life where he was like, you know, the man, and then all of a sudden, ba-boom. And the thing about boxing is that, you know, you could talk trash all you want in other sports, and in boxing, when you talk trash, the thing is that you're going to fight. You know, and let's be honest, nobody knows how to fight unless you're a fighter. You know, like if you're MMA or if boxer or you do karate, you know how to fight. No one else knows how to fight. So everybody else who talks trash, they can't fight. You know, yeah, you can pull a gun and stab somebody, but if you really want to fight, people do not know how to fight. Matter of fact, if you ever watch a basketball game and see basketball players fight, it's like girls. They're like this, right? Football players the same way. They're so stupid. Here's the thing about football players. And believe me, you throw a punch at a helmet. How dumb is that? But anyway, in boxing, you're getting in a ring with a guy who wants to beat your head in that has trained and has been dreaming about hurting you. So you're 27-0, and tell us the story.
27-0, I'm climbing that heavyweight ladder, getting really close to the title. I was fighting a guy named Ike Iwabuchi, who was...
Now say that name again, I've heard it five times.
Ike Iwabuchi.
Ike? Iwabuchi.
Yeah, from Nigeria.
Iwabuchi! I like that name.
Big guy, really big guy. And, you know, basically I was full of myself. My style, I like to make you miss. If you throw a punch at me, I'm going to slip it. My father used to say, if you throw a handful of BBs at me, I'll slip everyone. I won't get hit. And that's what I thought going to the fight, reading my clippings, thinking, this is my fight to get me to the title. Basically full of myself. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I know the Lord has strengthened me, but I took the strength away because I was fighting in my strength. And we're in the fight. I was having a lot of fun. I mean, if you watch a fight even on YouTube, you'll see me having a lot of fun. Then you'll see me get hit. And when he said God woke you up, he woke me up, literally. When I hit the ground, I woke up. The Lord was like, get up. And it crushed me. I mean, it really crushed me because I thought I was really something. But it made me realize and I learned that I'm not in control. The Lord put me in this position, gave me this platform to represent him and not me. And I was serving me. Because if I would have won that fight, I probably would have fought Lennox Lewis. I would have beat him, for sure. Then I would have been truly serving myself and my head would have been very big. But he shrunk my head and made me realize who I truly serve, and that's Jesus Christ. I serve him and him alone.
So the question you have to ask yourself is, who do you serve? And we naturally, because we're sinners, by nature, we serve ourselves. We want what we want, how we want it. That's why Burger King came up with have it your way. For real, it's a selfish fast food, drive through. Give it to me now. I want it my way. I want it when I want it, how I want it, and when I don't get it, I complain, especially in our culture here in the U.S. of A. But the question is, are you going to live your life for you, or are you going to realize that it's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ, and that he died and rose from the dead for your sin to save you from yourself and from your sinful nature and the consequences of your sinful nature? You have a decision to make. I'm going to live myself and take my chances with my own goodness. We want to advise you not to do that because your own goodness is not as good as you think. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't even know our own wickedness. Or you could say, you know what? I know I'm a sinner, and I believe Jesus Christ loves me and died for my sin, and I want to ask him to forgive me of my sin. I want him to be my Savior. And so in a minute, we're going to pray that prayer and give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ. Now, some of you may be a Christian, and you know you need to take your relationship to another level because you've been kind of cruising like Adrian was, and then he got sent down to minor leagues, and God said, wake up. Or when Chris was boxing, God sent him down to the floor and said, get up and wake up. At some point in your life, you have to realize, you know what? I got to give it all to the Lord and stop playing the game. It's not about coming here. It's not about listening to Bible study and saying, I did my thing. It's about following him every day. And so in a minute, we're going to bow our heads and pray. And my prayer is that you would make that decision. Don't come to church over and over again to have a good time and feel good about yourself and miss the whole point. Because I would hate for you to die and then face God and all you have to say is, I went to the rock. Because that going to the rock ain't in here. Now, the rock's in here. Jesus is the rock. But going into the services, it's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ. And if you're online watching, the same thing for you. You need to give your life to Christ. You don't want to just say you watch church online. You've been to church. You want to say you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that he forgave you of your sin. And we want to give you the opportunity right now. So I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and just listen very carefully with your heart, your mind. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means every single one of us in here is a sinner. The Bible says the penalty of our sin is death. The good news is that Jesus died for our sin, paid for our sin with his death. That's good news. And he rose from the dead. That's even better news. If you would like to commit your life to Christ, either for the first time or recommit your life to Christ, you want to make sure that you will walk with him. Just pray this prayer with me. It's very important. Doesn't matter how old you are, male, female, where you're from, God loves you the same. You could be halfway around the world from here in San Diego. God is just as much with you wherever you are as he is here with us here. So if you sense that God is saying to you, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you give your heart to me for real. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart by faith. Pray, dear God, I know you love me. And I know you have a great plan for my life. And I believe that Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. Come live in my heart and be my Savior and my God. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing, you are giving a public confession of your faith to Jesus. If you're watching online, we want you to click on your screen. There's a place for you to let us know that you prayed to receive Christ, and we have a pastor that will chat with you right now. So right now, if you're right here in Point Loma, if right here in the sanctuary, I'm just going to ask you, eyes closed, heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer, you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to give my life to you. I'm just going to ask you to stand up to your feet and acknowledge Jesus' forgiveness in your life. Just stand to your feet right now here in this place. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 God bless you.